We are continuing in our series in the book of Titus, and we're talking about getting back to good. And I have a question. What are some great one-time events throughout history? What are some great one-time events?
The end of the World Wars.
End of the World Wars, yeah. I thought of signing of the Declaration of Independence. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Berlin Wall coming down. How about the birth of Jesus? I think the greatest, crucifixion and resurrection. But some things are not meant to be one-time events. Some things that we do are not meant to be one-time events only. We've been talking about getting back to good. Well, we should remain in good, continue to do good. As Paul used that theme of doing good throughout the book of Titus. We should continually, every day, be living to do good. And as we know, as we've been doing this series, Paul is writing to one of his proteges, Titus. Titus dealing with a lot of things, setting up the church. And Paul is giving him advice and continually reminding him to do what is good. And Paul continues in this theme, and we're going to be in chapter 3 of Titus this morning. And I want to talk about how we are to continue to do good. That should not be a one-time thing. Okay, I'm going to do good, and then go away from that. We should continually strive to do good. And in Titus chapter 3, we're going to be starting with verses 1 and 2. And it says these words, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility to all men." When we talk about getting back to good, we have to be reminded that people are going to trip up. People are going to fail. People are going to do wrong things. People are just, they're going to sin. We're going to mess up. We've all done it. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to continually mentor and disciple our brothers and sisters. So when people mess up, we should naturally want to go to them and share with them and talk with them. But it's important how we do it. Because we can go to somebody and say, "You moron, you idiot, look at what you did." Now, if I'm that person who hears that, am I going to want to stick around? No. No. There's a way to talk to people. There's a way to talk to our brother and sister, which is my first point this morning. We patiently remind. It's an attitude. It is an attitude. We are called to do things patiently. You know, patience can be hard for the best of us. I mean, anybody had an impatient moment here in the last, 40 minutes? Can I go to that short and still have a bunch of hands raised up? It's easy to be impatient and want something. I mean, you go through drive-thru and we get mad if the food's not out in 2 minutes. We read in the Bible people being impatient. One of the first people I think of is King Solomon. King Saul. Saul had so much potential. You could have put that on his tombstone. So much potential. But he messed up a lot. One of those times we found in 1 Samuel 13. King Saul was waiting with the army, with the Israelite army. They were going to battle the Philistines. They were waiting on Samuel to come and give a sacrifice. And the Israelite army was going to get a blessing before they went into battle. Saul simply got impatient. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. He just had to go and do this. So he did it himself. He gave the sacrifice himself. And then Samuel shows up. Isn't that how it always is? We get impatient. We're waiting for somebody to do something. We're waiting and we're waiting. And then we just go do it ourselves and we end up messing it up. And then as soon as we start doing it, that person shows up to do what they're supposed to do. And if we'd have just waited 30 seconds more, 15 seconds more, 2 minutes more, everything would have been fine. But then we put our hands into it, do something we're not supposed to be doing, and we cause a lot of problems. Well, that's what happens here. Solomon gives a sacrifice when he wasn't supposed to. And listen to what Samuel says. We find in 1 Samuel 13, verses 11, and then jumping over to 13 and 14, and it says this. What have you done? You acted foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and appointed him ruler of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. Saul's impatience cost him dearly. It can cost us dearly as well to be impatient. I think of Solomon's words, King Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. You know, they've used that word a lot with impatience or being hurried. Fools. Thinking we can do it on our own when we're supposed to wait. There are many times patience can cost us. Let me give you a few. It can cost us an opportunity to disciple somebody. If we act impatient, you know, people have eyes, they can see. And if we're not acting right, it can really affect how we talk to others. It can cost us that opportunity to be an example. People see that impatience in us, see how we act, and we don't act right, and they go, why do I want to follow what they say? It can be dangerous in our own spiritual walk. Because being impatient, you know what that's really saying? I know better. I know better than you, God. I've got to figure it out. I'll take care of it myself. And what happens when we try and do it ourselves instead of listening to God? We mess it up. And it hurts our walk as well, because we're supposed to be listening to God. We're supposed to be trusting in His timing. The Bible tells us that patience is how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be patient. Let me give you a couple of examples. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul wrote, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to walk in humility and gentleness, patience. You look at that. Look at that verse up there. At the end of verse 2. With patience, bearing with one another in love. Does impatience show love? No, it doesn't. Impatience does not show love. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, now here's the words, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Quit being impatient. Trust God. Are we gentle with those who have fallen off track? Are we gentle with them? Those who have messed up, who have sinned, and we go to them? How do we go to them? Or do we have the attitude, well, figures, they messed up again. I just can't believe it. I guess I'm going to have to go over there and say something. I really want to listen to that. Does those two verses I just read, or those two passages out of Ephesians and Philippians, sound anything like the way I just acted? No. The opposite. But it's so easy to fall into that trap. It feels like, many people feel like it's easier just to bash somebody than it is to come alongside. They feel like it's easier just to hurt somebody and tell them to straighten up and do right, and to come to beside them and say, you know what? I went through this. I struggled with this. This is what helped me. We want to see people grow in their faith. And as we're all growing, we're going to take a step back. Every one of us is going to sin somewhere, sometime. But we don't want to see you just keep stepping back, keep falling away. We want to see you to continue to grow and mature in your faith. Because let's remember, we all fail. We all fail. We've fallen off track. We've made bad choices. We've done things that are not good. In fact, we need to, my second point this morning, we need to remember our history. We need to remember our history. Oh, isn't history important? I always think of the old quote, those who forget the past tend to repeat it. Remember, we've all fallen short. We've all sinned. And we've got to remember what sin is. Sin involves any deviation from God's rules. Sin involves any deviation from His standard, His holiness. And our sinful behavior will not only affect us, but it'll hurt others as well. This is not the way we're to live. We should be focusing on the good and living in that way. But I know you say, it's so easy to follow how I want to live. We talked about it last week, how people want to follow their heart instead of follow God. People want to go to heaven, but they don't want to do it their way. They don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it their way. And our way doesn't work. We have to remember, this isn't God's way of taking the fun out of life. If we are looking at it that way, then we have the wrong perspective. Because if we try and do it our way, as Paul wrote in Romans, we're chaining ourselves to that sin. We're not free. We're free because of Christ's death on the cross. We're free because of God's grace. But choosing to not do good We're rejecting His grace. We're saying, no, God, I've got it. I've got this one. I can take care of this. I'm good. We're trying to put ourselves in His place, and that doesn't work. We're not God. List God's sins. Let's make a list. List God's sins. None. God's perfect. List our sins. There's not enough paper in the world to write down all of our sins. And we're saying we have all the answers and God doesn't. We have to remember, we all have sins. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Not even one. And we can't turn around and say, oh, but I'm so close. I've just sinned a little bit. Remember what James wrote? James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. The only way we have hope is not through our works. It doesn't work that way. It's only through God's grace. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus. Look what Paul wrote to Titus back in Titus 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We fell short, but thank goodness for God's grace. That's how we go talk to people. We failed too. Thank goodness for God's grace. We are saved because of God's mercy. He washed that sin clean from us. Renewed by the Holy Spirit. Can't get any better than that. We can't make it any better. We are saved by the grace through the blood poured out by Jesus. Love Paul's words in Romans 5. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for it. Christ died for us. This is something that we should never take lightly. I pray that in our walk, in our daily walk, we don't take this lightly. Jesus died for us. He gave His life for us. He endured pain for us. So we could be with Him. We are given grace. For those who accept that great gift, we are given grace. We should never take that lightly. And that's in all we do. So it's important how we treat others. Remember, we've all fallen. But we need to continue to serve. We need to get back to what is good and continue to do it. And when we see our brothers and sisters fall, we go to them. And we go to them lovingly, patiently, with humility. Not lording over them saying, I'm better than you. That's the exact wrong way to do it. We come alongside and say, I've been there. Let me help. Let me read verse 8 in Titus 3. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. To carefully devote themselves to doing what is good, we can say it by another word, repentance. Stop doing it our way, doing it God's way. God's way is good. We do it. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of attitude. Stop thinking that we're right over God. God's right. Listen to the words of David. Remember David, man after God's own heart. The man that replaced Saul as king. Started off great. What he did with Goliath, becoming king. Things were going well, and then he let his own cravings get in the way. I like her. She's pretty. Oh, she's married? Okay. I still want her. Brings her into his bed. Oh, how can I hide this? Well, let's trick her husband into going and having sex with her so that way they can hide the pregnancy. Say it's his. Oh, he doesn't want to do that. Okay, have him killed. All the troops pull back and let him be the first one in line. He has no chance. David quit doing what was good. And then David got called out. He got called out. And listen to what he said, wrote in Psalm 51. After he had committed that sin, after he had done wrong, he wanted to repent. And listen to what he says. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. We read here repentance is a change of mind towards sin and a sincere desire to be rid of it. I love the way it's described in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 14:6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Repent. Turn from your idols and renounce all your detestable practices. It's not just a one-time thing. Yes, in our mind we repent. We start changing our ways. But we continue that repentance. It's not supposed to be just one time, okay, I'm not going to do these wrong things now. I know it's not wrong. And then tomorrow, go back to doing them. No, we continue that repentance from then on. We continue following God's ways. We don't stop. I love the way theologian Wayne Grudem put it. As he said, as a sincere commitment to forsake sin and walk in obedience to Christ. Which is my third point this morning. Committed repentance. Committed repentance. I've quoted King Solomon a couple times this morning, and as we know in Scripture, King Solomon was the smartest man who ever lived. God blessed him with that intelligence. We know that he had the choice between money, fortune, or intelligence. And Solomon said, give me the intelligence. And God said, I'll give you both. Solomon did some pretty amazing things. Leaders from other countries would come and they were amazed at what he could do. Because Solomon was the smartest man who ever lived. But Solomon was also human. Solomon knew how he should live. Remember, he couldn't get off saying, well, I didn't know that. Solomon was the smartest man who ever lived. Remember, the whole book of Ecclesiastes. He tried all these different things. And in the end, what did he say? When all's said and done, fear God and keep his commands. Keep his commandments. He knew how he was supposed to live. I worked ahead, Debbie, and started saying the verse before it came up on the screen. Go ahead and put it on the screen. The end of the matter, all that has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's how the book of Ecclesiastes ends. Solomon knows. But then, as life kept going on for Solomon, he fell away. As he grew older, he started following other gods. He started marrying women from other countries who didn't follow God and started following their gods. Remember, who gave Solomon the intelligence? God. Who gave Solomon the wealth? God. Who blessed Solomon in every way imaginable? God. What does he do? Goes and worships something else. And listen to this. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 11. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Now let me stop there. Can you blame him? Can you blame God for being angry with him? I give you everything and you go worship an Ashtoreth pole. Let me start over. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. And then we find the result in the next verse. In verse 11. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Solomon just walked away. He walked away from God. When we give our lives to God and we repent, it's not just a one-time thing. We don't just give our lives and then walk off and go live however we want. We follow God the rest of our lives. We continue to do what is good. We continue to follow God who is holy, who is perfect. He is our example. He's the standard that we follow. And that's how God wants us to live. You see it up there in that verse. But God says, since this has been your practice and you have not kept my commandments. We're not saved by works. But God wants us to follow his word every day for the rest of our lives. Because we're grateful for his grace. Following God is not a one-time thing. When we repent, it should be in our hearts to stay. We commit to that repentance. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Look what Paul said in Acts 26. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That's an interesting phrase. And prove their repentance by their deeds. Can people see you have a repentant heart by your deeds, by how you live? We're to change our ways for the rest of our lives. We are continued to do good. Or as Paul said in Titus 3:8, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. See, it not only just affects you, just like with sin. Sin not only affects you, it affects those around you. If we're following God, that not only affects us, it affects everybody around us. Because people see how we're living. If they see we're excited for God, and they continue to see that every day, and they're not following God, then they may say, what's going on with him? What's going on with her? Maybe I should be doing that. We continue to do what is good. We devote ourselves to serving God. We get back to good, and we continue to do what is good. But in order to get back to good, you got to know who that good is. Who is that good? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, who died on the cross for us to be our sacrifice, to bear our sin on the cross. Because we have no hope of heaven without him. We're sinners. We've fallen short. I've read that earlier. The only hope we have is through the gift of God. It's through God's grace. And if you haven't accepted that grace, then I hate to say it, but you don't have any hope of heaven yet. You don't have any hope of heaven. Jesus said, I'm the only way. You can receive that gift of grace by declaring Jesus Lord, by repenting of your sins, by being baptized, burying that old life, starting a new life. It's the only way. Submit yourselves to God. Humble yourselves to God. We don't have all the answers. He does. He can get us through. And we will rejoice with him for an eternity. If you don't know him, today's a great day to start. Come forward and make Jesus your Lord. You can do that now. We're going to be singing a song of invitation. Won't you come forward and make Jesus Lord? Let's stand and sing.